for us is incredible, powerful, and completely unconditional. We also spend time looking into His Word, the Bible, and receive practical teaching to guide us along His path in our everyday lives. But it doesn't end when the service is over. Throughout the week, we gather in groups to serve, pray, reach out to our community, and sometimes just to hang out and have fun. Life is full of challenges, and none of us are perfect. But we believe that's one of the reasons God has brought us together. We're all here to help and support each other through each step of life's journey, because nobody should have to travel alone. So thanks for joining us today. No matter who you are, we want you to know you are welcome.
Good morning, His Tabernacle Family Church. How are we doing today? Thank all five of y'all. What's up, man? It's so good to see you, bro. You know what? Turn to your neighbor and say, hi, you look lovely. Hi, you look amazing. Tell them that the joy of the Lord is on them. All right, cool. That was good, wasn't it? So who's ready to praise and worship? Who's ready to praise and worship? If you guys could just join us up here, we would love that. We love seeing the smiling faces and the amazing worship that you give God. All right? All righty.
Now sing,
I'm free.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Jesus. Keep praising him. We praise him. He's fighting the battle right now. He's already fighting, but we just fix our eyes on him and we praise him. So praise him this morning. Thank you, Jesus. We love you. It's your body and your blood shed for me. This is how I fight my battles. There's a table that you prepared for me. In the presence of my enemies. It's your body.
This is how I fight my battles.
is how I find. We drop everything aside. This is how I find my battles.
Come on, proclaim it.
This is how I find my battles. This is how I find my battles. This is how I find. This is how I find my battles. This is how I find my battles. This is how I fight my battles. This is how I fight. It may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you. It may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you.
Yes, we are.
It may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you.
Of adoption, not fear. We have a spirit of adoption that we can call him Father, that his spirit and our spirit bears witness with each other, that we are children of God. We are children of God.
Who am I that the highest King would welcome me? I was born, but he really knew his love for me. Oh, his love for me. Who the Son.
Sing it, Jeff.
Who is free indeed. I'm a child of God.
Yes, sir.
Free at last, and he ransomed me. Oh, his grace. While I was a slave to sin, Jesus died for me.
Sing it out.
Jesus died for me. Who the Son sets free. Oh, it's free indeed. I'm a child of God. Yes, I am. In my
chosen. You are chosen. He has chose you. Sing this.
And I am chosen, not forsaken. I am who you are for me, not against me. I am who you say I am.
And I am chosen, not forsaken. I am who you say I am. You are for me, not against me. I am who you say I am. I am chosen, not forsaken. I am who you say I am. You are for me, not against me. I am who you say I am. And I am chosen, not forsaken. I am who you say I am. You are for me, not against me. I am who you say I am. Oh, I am who you say I am. Who the sun sets free, who is free in me. I'm a child of God. Yes, I
Hallelujah. Come on now, shout, I'm free. Aren't you glad to be part of the kingdom of God? Aren't you glad that Jesus is your Savior? Aren't you glad that he whom the Son has set free is free indeed? Shout, I'm free. I can't hear you. Shout, I'm free. Let the devil know I'm free. Let your neighbor know I'm free. Why don't you go find five people and say, I'm free. Come on, go find five people you don't know and say, I'm free. You still have 1 minute. You got to be free indeed. Let's go. Tell somebody, thank God I'm free.
Grab a seat, grab a notebook, grab a pen, and get ready because we've got information coming up that you do not want to miss. You at a group and y'all gotta get as psyched as she is because there's food, there's family, and there's fellowship. Isn't that right, Abby?
That's right. Oh. We want to see you at your local campus's information center. We'll see you there.
Hey family, we know you're so excited about what Jesus is doing in your life, and we want to give you an opportunity to continue to grow. That's why we have available Next Steps classes 1, 2, and 3. We would love to see you at any of the campuses. And you can find this information at histabernacle.com or right at your campus's info center. But this is important because what we know in Jesus is what we can do in Jesus. We want to see you go to that next level this year. Go ahead and join today so you can start on your next level.
Hey, are you new to His Tabernacle? Listen, we have a class just for you. It's called Growth Track. We want to help you connect with the family here at His Tabernacle, help you grow up and discover what God can do through you.
Good morning, His Tabernacle Family Church. How y'all doing this morning? Oh, come on. The Bible says, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. I was glad. I was glad. So who is excited to be in the house of the Lord this morning? Yes, yes. Welcome to our 9 a.m. service. We are incredibly excited you could be here with us. If this is your first time to worship with us, can I just see you just lift up your hand like this? Like this. Awesome. Come on, put your hands together for our first time guest. If you have not received the guest packet, please keep your hands raised just like this. We're going to have people coming through the aisles right now to hand you a packet. In that packet, you have a gift from us, some information about our church. But more importantly, I want to personally invite you to our guest reception. It's going to be on my left, your right, down this hallway right after our church service. We have some coffee in there, some pastries, some donuts. We want to just tell you thank you so much for coming to worship with us. Meet some people from our staff. And once again, we want to ensure you're going to come back. Today, you are a guest, but perfectly, you're going to become family. Amen. So give it up for our first time guest. Awesome. Awesome. Can y'all just look around? This place is packed. It is packed out this service. And I love it. We are here to fellowship and get to know one another. But can I encourage you with something? It is not only on Sunday that you can get to live life with each other. There's an opportunity every single day of the week through groups for you to live life with each other. So who here is part of a group? Raise your hand. Yes, look at that. If you are not part of a group, I want to encourage you to get signed up today. Go out in the foyer. We have an entire table and teams that are set up to help you get connected. All ages, some are kid friendly, some are pet. No, whatever it is, whatever you are looking for, there is a place for you. We do not want you to live life alone. Amen? Amen. Across our nation, we typically reserve the month of October for Pastor Appreciation Month. And we want to join in that celebration to honor our pastors, Pastor Most Holy Reverend Father Dr. Michael Spencer. This is where y'all clap. The Most Holy Reverend Father Dr. He has two doctorates, Dr. Michael Spencer and Pastor Rhonda Spencer. We are excited to celebrate them this month. On October 19th, we actually have a really fun pastoral banquet for y'all to come to attend and to celebrate with us. It is going to be $10. You can sign up in the foyer. There's a red carpet. You can't miss it. So please get signed up. But if you're not able to attend that banquet on the 20th, during our church, we'll be able to take some time to celebrate them as well. They have not only built this house, but they have wanted to be the shepherds and the spiritual parents of each and every single one of us. And you may not have spent one-on-one time with them all the time, but because of their obedience to God to say yes, you and I get to enjoy today's service and just everything that God has done in our lives. We want to just say thank you, Pastor. Thank you, Pastor Rhonda. And we look forward to celebrating with you guys on the 19th and the 20th. Amen? Amen. I am slightly unsure where we go from here. Me? Okay, well, it looks like we're about to go into our time of tithes and offerings. Who's excited for that? Who's excited to give? Oh, bless the Lord, oh my soul. Does everybody have a tithe offering in their hand? If you do not have an envelope, just raise your hand. Our ushers are going to come through and give you an envelope. But we are excited for the concept of seed time and harvest. Yes, we are just to give. You know, we've talked about our tithe, but there's something that's even more powerful. I believe there's power in your seed. And seed is not just, oh, well, come up here and give, no, a certain amount. What is the Lord speaking to you to give? And from what he's speaking to you to give, you can put a demand. Say demand. Say demand. Come on, say it like you mean it. Say demand. I could put a demand on what I bring up to the bucket. Do you really believe that? That as you come up, whatever seed that you sow, you can say, God, according to your word in my phone, in my Bible, whatever it is, according to your word, you are a God that because I'm going to sow in faith and according to your word, I could demand and harvest. If your word says that when I give, that the curse will be broken off my life, I can hold that to myself. When your word says that, you know, when I give, financial breakthrough and just, you know, money just coming in and going out, right, Pastor? Coming in, going out. That when I give with my seed, I could put a demand that money is going to be coming in. Amen? That when I give, I could put a demand that God, everything according to your word, that there is a bloodline of protection over me, that no weapon formed against me, it shall ever prosper, that every single promise in the word, it is mine, and every attack of the enemy, it is pushed back and it is reversed by the power of my seed. Amen? So there may be some people that they just give out of religion. I want to encourage you, let today be the last day you give out of religion. I want you to give out of covenant. Amen? I want you to give out of covenant because you can begin to enjoy every single blessing that the Lord has for you. Amen? So if you're ready to stand up to your feet, we're excited to give today. You are so excited to preach, aren't you? We're ready to make our supernatural declaration. If you want to give via text, we're going to have that up on the screen for us. If you want to give, you know, via your envelope, just have them up in the air. Everybody ready? Even if you don't have anything, I want you to just put your phone up in the air as an act of faith, as a step of faith. Come on, we're about to decree and to declare the word. Say, if I obey, I'm blessed going in and I'm blessed going out. I'm blessed in my storehouse, and I'm blessed in my basket. The blessings have chased me down. They've tripped me up, because I'm a child of God. I said I'm a child of God. Now shout, I'm blessed. I'm blessed. I'm blessed. Amen. Amen. You can come out of your seat and come down to the front. You can either tap your phone or drop your envelope, but we're going to be giving from a standpoint of seed time and harvest, putting a demand on heaven that according to the word of the Lord, a supernatural harvest is going to come from our seed in Jesus' name. If you're watching online, go ahead and click that giving button and just jump in on your covenant right as well. That seed time and harvest, it is a principle of the Lord that when you give, you can put a demand on heaven for a harvest to come into your life in Jesus' name.
Praise the Lord. Good morning, everybody. This is the year of... I can't hear you. I said, this is the year of... Turn to somebody and say, I'm going to the next level. Tell somebody else, with or without you, I'm going. Amen. That's important because you'll find that there are people that never want you to go to the next level. It's amazing when you realize there are a lot of folks that don't want you to accelerate in your walk with God. And they'll actually do everything to stop you because they don't want to go. They don't want to see you excel. Or what's amazing, I've also found that when they see you become somebody that is amazing in how God is using your life, they don't want to pay the price, but they'll make you feel guilty for growing in Jesus. And you need to realize real quick that I'm going with or without you. Amen. I'm going with or without you. I love my wife. I wouldn't divorce my wife, but the fact is my wife stalled in her walk with God. I refuse to stall in my walk with God. Amen. Yeah, I don't really have to worry about that, no. This is an exciting week because I believe this is going to be a great week for your freedom. I've actually asked for a little extra time. I'll only preach for 2 hours and then we'll be done. But I do believe that this is a message that I need to make sure that I cover well. I only have 1 week. This is usually a 3-week sermon, and I'm only taking 1 week for it. And so I need you to pay attention. I need you to be aware. I need for you to understand. So Holy Spirit, you're the one who brings the revelation of the word to us. We ask, Spirit of God, that you will open up our spiritual man, our spiritual ears, that we may have a complete understanding of your word. Bring revelation knowledge to us, that we don't ever have to go back to anxiety again. But Lord, we can live in the freedom that Jesus Christ has paid for. So Spirit of God, have freedom in this house, work in our lives, and show us, teach us the word. In Jesus' name, and everybody said, amen. Amen. Shout, I'm going to put an X in anxiety. Amen. Isn't that good? How many of you have dealt with anxiety in the past? I think everybody has. How many of you are dealing with anxiety now? Amen. Then today is going to be a great day for you. I'm going to teach you in God's word. Everybody say God's word. What I have found, sadly enough, in the Church of America today is that many believers do not believe any longer that God's word has the fullness of answers. Let me say it one more time. You notice the pause. We are now in an age in Christianity where many believers no longer believe that God's word has the fullness of answer. But what we do is we'll take parts of it that we like, parts of it that work with us, we'll work with them, but God's word as well as all these other components will make it work. I'm here to tell you today that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. I'm here to tell you today that Jesus is the answer. That honestly, God is supernatural, not natural. And you need an answer, and his name is Jesus. And that is not some popcorn name that we kind of throw around, but that is the name of the Son of the living God who died and rose again and paid the price for our freedom. Turn to someone and say, I'm going to put an X in anxiety. Now I want you to realize that if you don't get this, then you're going to struggle with something that you have not been created to struggle with. I think this is important for us to understand. God never called you to live an anxious life. Anxiety is never God's will. Say that with me. Anxiety is never God's will. Come on, say it out loud. Anxiety is never God's will. Come on, say it again. Anxiety is never God's will. Tell somebody next to you, anxiety is never God's will. We must get to a place in our spirit that we are intolerant of what is not God's will. We must learn to become intolerant of things that are not God's will. Sin is not God's will. You need to be intolerant of sin. Can I hear an amen? Amen. I said you got to be intolerant.
Well, we want to accept everything.
I'm sorry. There are things that God does not accept. And there's things we cannot accept. We cannot accept sin. We cannot accept sickness. We cannot accept disease. We cannot accept anxiety and depression and suicide. These are things we cannot accept in our lives. We have got to get a backbone. We have got to look at these situations and scenarios and get absolutely angry at them and intolerant with them, or we're giving a foothold to them. What you are not intolerant towards, you give voice to. Shout this out loud. Anxiety is never from God. Tell somebody, I am intolerant. I will not put up with. I will not give a moment to. Anxiety. It does not belong in my life. It is not God's will. And that is the truth. We live in a society now that has changed and been twisted. In fact, psychologically, we are looking at the most unstable environment we have ever seen, especially in America. It amazes me, the average child today experiences the same level of anxiety that psychologists were dealing with in the 1950s on an average adult patient. We are looking now at college students that are coming in at the highest level of anxiety than ever before. We're watching, listen now, this was very interesting, and this is an old stat, 97 to 2004, we're spending on anxiety medication, $900 million in 1997, in 2004, $2.1 billion. Right now, mental illness and dealing with anxiety in America is $300 billion a year with stress-related issues. $300 billion. Man, I don't know about you. I want to learn this thing because I'd rather give my money to Jesus, come on now, than give it to the medical society. Now, listen, I'm not against medicine. Thank God for medicine. Thank God for help. Thank God anything that thwarts sickness is good. But I'd rather be free indeed and save my money. Can I hear an amen? We are looking at a very unique scenario, and it's time for the church internally to get sick and tired of being sick and tired. It's time for the church to become intolerant to anxiety. Shout it out loud. Anxiety is never from God. Shout it out loud. I hate anxiety. It does not belong in my life. 1 Peter chapter 5, 7 through 10 says this way. It says, casting or throwing away or casting upon all your cares, your worries, your anxieties upon Jesus. For he cares for you. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Resist him steadfast in faith. Shall I walk by faith? Not by sight. Knowing that the same sufferings are experienced by the brotherhood in the world. But may the God of all peace, who called us to his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after you have suffered a while, perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. Yeah, I like it in New King. Let me see, what's this other version? The New King James Version. Don't fret about anything. Don't worry about anything. Instead of worrying, this isn't King James Version. This must be the Message Bible. Here we go. Instead of worrying, pray. Turn to someone and say, be a prayer warrior. Let petitions and praises shape your worries into prayers, letting God know your concerns. Before you know it, a sense of God's wholeness, everything coming together for good, will come and settle you down. It's wonderful what happens when Christ displaces worry at the center of your life. God has called us to be anxious for nothing. I want you to turn to someone and say, anxiety does not belong in your life. It is not God's will. So when we allow something that's not God's will, now I want you to hear me now. I said when we allow. Because anxiety is a choice. No, it's not, Pastor. It's a disease. No. We're calling everything a disease. We're terming everything a disease. I'm telling you now, it's not a disease. It's a choice. We're looking at all these things that we're naming diseases, and they're not diseases. The majority of them are choices. We make choices to live a certain way. And as believers, we have the choice to live according to the kingdom of God, according to the word of God, and the reality thereof. You see, what's important for us to understand is that there's a roaring lion wandering about, looking about to whom he may devour. He's out there. The devil's real. We know according to John 10:10, the devil's come but to steal, to kill, and destroy. So I want you to realize this. Anxiety is not a sneak attack. This is not the devil ambushing you. He has warned us in his word. Don't be anxious. Cast all your cares upon him, for he cares for you. Be sober, be vigilant, for your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. So this is not something that is like, oh my goodness, this is happening to me. You need to realize anxiety is going to fall at the feet of every single believer's threshold. And at that moment that it comes, we have to make conscious, biblical, Holy Ghost decisions to live in freedom or to live in bondage. Because anxiety is bondage. Anxiety is bondage. And God did not set you free by the blood that he shed on Calvary for you to be back in bondage. That's why he says, he whom the Son has set free is free indeed. So we need to lay hold of this and own this. That is, anxiety is never God's will. So when it comes, we have to make some conscious choices. In fact, we shouldn't be even shocked when anxiety comes in our direction. The Bible says, don't be shocked by the fiery trial that comes upon you. Fiery trials are going to come upon you. Pressure is going to come upon you. Hardships are going to come upon you. What makes you and I different from the world is we've got Jesus Christ. Well, that was exciting. I said, what makes us different from the world is we have Jesus and we have his word.
No. I said, what makes us different from the world is all they have is a psychologist and a psychologist and the medication and that special help. But we have the Holy Ghost. Can I hear an amen? See, we have the upper hand over the devil. We have the upper hand over anxiety. That's why we can put an X in anxiety, because we have the authority over anxiety. And I'm going to teach you how to do that in just a tad. Is that okay? What I want to talk about is, what is anxiety? We start talking about anxiety, we start talking about stress. And I want you to realize something very clearly, that stress is normal. In fact, stress isn't even all bad. Stress develops you into becoming a person that can withstand. A person where there is no stress in their life, you never find out where there's weakness in your life. Has anybody ever watched that show, Forged in Fire? I love that show. My wife actually likes that show. If you don't know what that show is, what that is they give people miscellaneous pieces of metal, and they've got to build blades out of them, and then they test the blades. They put stress on the blades. And it's amazing that some of these blades that look phenomenal, they shine on, baby. And in some of the tests, they work, but when they put the test, when it comes to certain areas, it has actually broken the blade. I want to know before my blade breaks where my level of stress is, so that I can shore it up, so that I can strengthen it in the Spirit of God, so that I never have to crack. Can I hear an amen? So stress in itself is not always bad. I'm going to read a quote for you. I think it's really good. According to experts, stress is a burst of energy that basically advises you on what to do. In small doses, stress has many advantages. For instance, stress can help you meet daily challenges and motivate you to reach your goals. In fact, stress can help you accomplish tasks more efficiently. It can even boost memory. Thank you, Jesus. Stress is also a vital warning system, producing a fight or flight response. When the brain perceives some kind of stress, it starts flooding the body with chemicals like epinephrine, neosomatropin, and cortisol. So stress in and of itself isn't bad, and I've always learned this. What is coming against you isn't bad. The problem is not your problem. It's what you do with the problem. So stress in itself is a God actually creation within us, to where you and I are able to release certain chemicals to accomplish certain tasks. But it's dangerous when there's too much stress, or when, this is where it is, ready? When you let the stress come from the outside and penetrate your inside. That's where the danger is. That's when stress becomes something that's going to be dangerous to you. That's when stress does things that are causing physical illnesses and mental illnesses and strength within your body being drained. You see, when the stress comes from the outside where it belongs, come on now, stress belongs on the outside. But when it gets inside of you, that's when the problem actually begins. Pastor Chad is giving an example up in Ithaca this morning about a boat. And if you take a boat, what makes a boat float is the pressure of the water on the bottom of the boat. But when you poke a hole in the boat, the water pressure changes, and now it enters into the boat and sinks it. So stress in and of itself is not a bad thing, but stress that gets inside of you is when it becomes an unbiblical thing. I don't know if you heard me say that out loud. It is unbiblical to allow your stress to enter into your life. It is one thing to have stress on the outside. It's another thing to have stress on the inside. And Christ has taught us through his word and through his life. Now listen, Christ had stress. We know that. How do we know that? Because at the Garden of Gethsemane, when he looked at the Lord and he said, Father, if there's any other way, the stress was so intense on the outside that it literally broke the capillaries on the inside. But Jesus made a declaration that changed everything. It changed the whole facet of the garden experience from being one of intense anxiety, intense stress, intense overwhelming, to where he said, Father, not my will, but your will be done. The moment he prayed, the moment he released, the moment he didn't allow the stress to get inside, he then got up, walked out of the garden, and everything broke. You need to know that stress is going to come to your life. But when it comes, it's what you do with it that is going to determine whether you're going to live an anxious life. Well, you know, Pastor, it's just in my blood. Everybody in my family is anxious. That is a lie from hell. I don't know who told you that, but you are not from that family anymore. You're from the family of God. You're God's son and you're God's daughter. And the word of God declares, be anxious for nothing. Turn to someone and say, don't be anxious over anything. Now, I want to show this now because this is important. This is where Christians get a little loopy. There is a difference between concern and anxiety. Concerns are important. Let me say it again. If you are never concerned about anything, share the drug. Or we know you are two. Children at two have no concerns, except that they're going to eat and poop and you're going to clean it. We are all going to deal with concerns. Concerns are important because a concern puts you on prayer point. So we all have situations in our lives, and maybe even you've experienced them this week, where something has happened in your life that has generated an actual concern, a legitimate concern. And at that moment, you had a choice. Well, I have a choice to keep the water outside the boat, cast my cares upon him, for he cares for me, because I know the devil's a roaring lion, seeking to whom he may devour. Well, how is the devil going to devour me? Because if the devil can get anxiety in you, now your vision has changed. The moment you go from concern to anxiety, now everything about life is you. Well, you know, I'm feeling this way. Well, you know, this is happening to me. Well, you know, me. Everything's about me. Everything's about I. I can't get out of bed. I don't know if there's hope. Well, everything's coming against me. Nobody likes me. Everything's me. Anxiety, when it enters your boat, everything now becomes about you. And I want you to realize this is not about you. For it's no longer I that lives, but Christ that lives in me. And the life that I now live in the flesh, I live according to the faith of the Son of God. Concerns are important because it creates the point of prayer. But when concern enters you, at that moment, you start causing an implosion. Pressure from the outside is not bad. Pressure from the inside, has anybody here ever had gas before? Immediately I saw Richie start talking to his wife. I don't want to know. You ever look at somebody and say, man, do you always have to pass gas? I actually had a roommate. This is back in 1984. In 1984, when they did the stomach bypasses, I mean, it was a totally different thing than today. And this guy had a stomach bypass, and literally, he was gassy all the time. We had three floors. He said, watch, I can prove to you how gassy I am. I'm gonna release gas on every step all the way to the top floor. I got in front of him, not behind him. And it worked. He did it, actually. He would pass gas, and he would wrap up our other roommate from Detroit, and all the rest of us would run out of the room, and that poor kid would start to dry heave right there. Because gas is an internal buildup of pressure. And it's got to come out. Just letting it sit. Our problem is when we allow this concern to enter into us, stress is not the problem because outside stress builds our inner strength, but when stress gets inside, it expands in and out and causes implosions called fear, anxiety, worry, and ultimately brokenness. Anybody that lives an anxious life is somebody that is broken inside because anxiety always breaks. Because pressure has to go out in some direction. We've got to make a decision in our heart. Anxiety is never from God, and I will not tolerate anxiety in my life. I will not tolerate the physical effects. I will not tolerate the emotional effects. You know, the Bible talks about in the book of Philippians chapter 4. We read that verse earlier. Don't fret or worry about anything. The Bible says don't be anxious for anything. Turn to someone and say, nothing.
Well, I think that's just unrealistic.
No, it's really not unrealistic. So many of us have bought the lie that we've got to live a life of that anxiety, and it's actually overtaken some of you. Fear is a tormentor, the scripture says. The very root of anxiety is fear, which is the opposite of faith. So what happens is this, when anxiety or a concern comes into our life, all of a sudden we have a choice to make. Will I cast my cares upon him or will I carry them myself? We have a choice to make. Will I not worry about it and pray about it? And when I pray, I'm going to give thanksgiving. I'm giving thanksgiving because I know the answer is on the way. Or am I going to choose to be God myself and be able to carry this myself? I want you to realize you weren't called to carry stress. You weren't called to carry that concern. You weren't called to carry that intensity. God called you to live in the joy of the Lord. That is your strength. He called you to live in peace. He called you to live in the freedom because he who set free is free indeed. This is what you've been called to, not to live in stress and concern.
Oh, Pastor, you're just unrealistic.
No, because I'm just like you. I put my pants on the same way you do. I have to put deodorant on just like you do. I pray you do. And so does the person sitting next to you. I'm human just like you are. Every one of us are brought up in different kinds of households. Some of us brought up in homes that stress was an accepted thing. Anxiety was an accepted thing. I've actually watched this spirit go literally generation to generation. For the Lord has not given us the spirit of fear, which is the very root of anxiety, but of power, love, and a sound mind. Turn to someone and say, I got a sound mind. You might just think you're repeating me. I'm getting you to prophesy the word of the Lord in your life. I tell somebody now, I've got a sound mind. Anxiety disrupts soundness. If you don't get this, then what's going to happen is you're going to leave here and have a problem, a concern, genuine concern. How many of you had a concern this year? How many of you had a concern this week? How many of you just live concerned? We call that anxious if you're living it. Every one of us deal with this issue. And every one of this has a direct impact or direct reflection is the word I'm looking for on our relationship with God. Now I want to say this. There are some anxious moments and even what we will call anxiety attacks that you don't even know they're coming. My favorite movie, Wild Hogs. Have you ever seen the movie Wild Hogs? Love that movie. I've seen it probably 20 times. I'm not even exaggerating. I have it on my iPad. I watch it 3 or 4 times a year. Why? Because you can't laugh any more than that. And so here we are in the Wild Hog movie, and Tim Allen is a dentist. No, he's not a dentist. What is he? Orthodontist. And he's living a stress-free life, and yet he's now been put, because of his cholesterol, been put on medication. He's not allowed to eat all this good food. Amen. Say amen. And so he's sitting at the table, and his wife and son are eating like roast beef with gravy and mashed potatoes, and he's eating salad. And we're not talking true salad. We're talking like green salad, which we know, unless it's pistachio or mint chocolate chip, is not good salad. For those who are fresh in the house, we've renamed ice cream salad. Okay, that means it's good for you. So Tim the Tool Man, at that point, Tim is sitting at the, whatever his name is, I don't even know what his name is in the movie. He's sitting at the table, and his son starts making fun of him, and he says, "Well, I'm not," and he grabs a stick of butter and he starts shoving it in his mouth and eating the butter, starts drinking the gravy, and he has a panic attack. The next scene, we see him in the hospital, and the doctor walks in and he says, "Well, sir, you have," he goes, "Well, I'm a doctor too." So he whips off this doctoral term and he goes, "Well, I'm an orthodontist." And so he gives him the term and he says, "You had a panic attack." He said, "Well, I'm not stressed." And he says, "Well, your body says you are." There are times, and I'm going to give you my personal example, that literally a panic attack will come into your life, and it literally is a spirit, not from heaven. Now, listen, I'm not one of these demon hunter preachers who blames everything on the devil, but I'm going to call it what it is. And I want you to realize that there are times where you're not an anxious person, you are not the one that lives in anxiety, but every once in a while you will be attacked by a spirit of anxiety or a spirit of fear, and you must take an aggressive posture. So let me talk about first anxiety. How do I get out of being an anxious person? Number one, you have to make a choice. I choose not to be a worrywart. Has anybody ever heard that term? "You're just a worrywart." No, it's far worse than that. When you call somebody a worrywart, that's not a compliment. That is telling them that they are a person who chooses to internalize all of the problems and not trust God. You see, this reflection that I'm talking about is called trust. A person that goes from concern to anxiety is ultimately saying, "God, you are not big enough and able enough and powerful enough to deal with this issue, so I'm going to have to deal with it on the inside myself." A person that is involved and literally consumed by anxiety is one that now is being overtaken by literally a spirit of fear, to where now everything about your situation, your sleeping, your waking, your daily thoughts, everything is consumed by that scenario. At that moment, you know you have gone from concern, come on now, concern, which is important, now you have entered into anxiety. And the moment you enter into anxiety, you now have taken control out of God's hands and put it in your own. This sounds too easy. Take my yoke upon you. My burden is light. The burden that we're talking about are those concerns that are real and they're genuine. I'm talking like they'll come in your life, maybe even this afternoon. They're real concerns. But we have to make a choice. Do I really know God and trust God, or am I just trying to get to heaven? We live in a unique society. We have more electronics than we've ever had before. The best medicine we've ever had before. Seriously? We don't have to ride horse and carriage any longer. Amen. I forget how many billions a year we spend on our dogs. Amen. And it's B with a B, not an M. Our kids have the best education they've ever had before. People are making the most money than they've ever had before. But we're the most anxious we've ever been before. They actually say third world country people who don't always have food to eat live less anxious lives than Americans. One of the main issues, especially dealing with a believer, is because American Christians, oh, I'm going to get a little meddling now. American Christians don't really want God. They just don't want to go to hell. Can't blame them. American Christians really don't want God. They just don't want to go to hell. So they're not building viable relationship with the Lord. They're building good religious activity. They're here on a Sunday morning. They throw their George in the plate. They do their nice little religious thing. They show up one every 3 weeks as an American average Christian does. And now we're doing, you know, we're good people. We're nice people. Listen, I love the fact that you can confess the Lord with your mouth, the Lord Jesus, and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. I thank God those who call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. But this is not about you getting to heaven. This is about you and I living successful and showing God on this earth. If it was about you and I going to heaven, the moment you got saved, you die. How many of you know you're not dead yet? Pinch the person next to you just to make sure. You're not dead, which means it's not your time to go to heaven, which means that we are to show our light before men that God might see or God might be seen by our good works. Our lives are an example to the world. We're an ambassador to this world, which means if we live according to the Constitution of heaven, then we can live a successful life. That success is that you and I can walk in the joy of the Lord, which is our strength. That success is that we will love. Come on now, even not just love those who love you, but love those who hate you. That you will have a peace that passes all understanding. That even though everything is breaking loose, you stand there in the middle of the wind and the wave, and you got the joy of the Lord that is stabilizing you. Come on now, say amen. The world is waiting. Listen, they've had to create drugs for that, but I got somebody named Jesus who will produce that in your life. We've got to learn to walk by faith and not by sight. That's what we've been preaching this whole year. You've got to want God beyond just getting out of the lake of fire. You've got to build a relationship with God. Let me tell you, I've had a lot of stressful situations in my life. When my wife and I were in Newfield, we were pastors. I'll just take it back even a little bit longer. I got time. I made sure I had time. My wife and I got married. We were offered a position in Marlborough, Massachusetts by a denomination. My wife and I, we had just been married, I think maybe 2 weeks, moved into my father's house, my sister's bedroom. Of course, they were already gone. And as you know, marital bliss has to be very quiet when you're living in your parents' homes. My wife and I decided we'd go to Maine before the appointment to the church in Marlborough, Massachusetts, which was supposed to happen on Sunday. So we went on Friday knowing it was going to be a lot of work. And we got up to Maine and had a great time with our friends, Rudy and Loretta. And they were actually our youth pastors when I was growing. My youth pastor when I was growing up had a great time with them. I called on Monday morning and said, hey, you know, we're on our way down. And we all set. And they said, oh, Brother Spencer, you haven't heard. There was a superintendent change on Friday. The new guy didn't know you, so he put somebody else in the position. We're sorry. You're a transitional casualty. We hope everything works out for you. Brand new marriage. Now I got no money. I ain't got no. So I went out and got a 40-hour week job with Tom McCann, smelling people's feet. Man, I've seen socks. Jesus, help us all. I've seen socks that I can't even imagine that people wear those kind. And the smells, I've seen toenails. I think they had twins. I know I saw one manifest once. Thinking the only way to get that down through that nail is to literally get a grinder. Rah! And I wasn't making enough money. My wife was babysitting Jocelyn. There's money coming in there. I'm working 40 hours at Tom McCann. And then I had to go work another 40 hours at D'Angelo's. Glory be to Jesus. That's a sub shop. I was a night manager. I worked in the day all day. Then I went right from there, went home for about a half hour. Then I went right to D'Angelo's and worked another 8 hours, 16 hours a day. I had no other way because I had to make money. Back in those days, a one-bedroom apartment was over $500, not including heat and electric, down in Leominster. And man, I tell you, the stress was on. But I had to make a decision. All of a sudden, a church came open down in my hometown, a little white church with a red door. It was abandoned. It was an old 1800 church. Didn't even have flushing toilets. Had a two-seater outhouse inside. Come on now, you know that's luxury. So I'm working 80 hours a week, and now I'm repainting this building. Now we're inside renovating the building. Now we're pastoring up there. And listen, all of this is happening. And I want you to realize the intensity was overwhelming. And yet I had to make a choice. God, my life is not my own. I've been bought with a price. I'm going to trust you. Lord, I'm here not by accident. Man didn't take that away. Lord, I know that I put my life in your hand. And even though not all things are good, you'll make all things work together for good. And so I know, God, I'm taken care of. I rested in him. Man, I became like a duck so that water could go right off my back. And I've made a choice over all these years of ministry, 32 of them, that I refuse to allow anything to stick. Why? Because so many of my pastoral friends became people that no longer are in the ministry because they allowed the stress to come from the outside and penetrate their inside. They became anxious. They became angry. They became fearful, and they walked away from ministry. Only 5% of all pastors who start full-time in the ministry finish full-time in the ministry. 95% of pastors do not finish in the ministry. And it comes down to this topic. Stress. If you're a business person, you know what I'm talking about. If you're a mom and a dad, you know what I'm talking about. Over all these years, I've had to make decisions, even when we started this church. I'm full-time on the road as an evangelist. It wasn't until last year at His Tabernacle that I made what I was making 20 years before on the road. And I had to say, God, do you really want this? And you know the story. For 2 years, I fought starting this church. Well, why? Well, one of them was because it was starting to get nice and comfortable. And then I had to allow stress to come into my life. And the stress was stepping off the road to come and start a church in Horse Heads, New York. Not in Miami, Florida. Horse Heads. Jesus. And here we are. Over the years, we've had this situation and that situation, financial strapping and people that have come against the ministry and people that have lied and made up lies and done this and done that, and the stresses have gotten big. And man, sometimes I've allowed them to literally wake me up in the middle of the night. I had one that was so intense, somebody lying about me and doing stuff against me and all this other stuff. And I had to I literally found myself going to bed thinking about it, waking up in the middle of the night dreaming about it. And also when I woke up, the very first thought was that individual. I let it happen for about 2 months. I don't know, I didn't lose any weight. Now, if stress would make me lose weight, no, just kidding. Actually, stress makes you keep your weight. So here I am. I had to make a decision because I had let the stress that was outside, that was real, a genuine concern. It got inside of me. Every thought, conversation would end up there. And I had to make a choice. I refuse to give habitation to this individual in my life. I refuse to give ownership to this situation in my brain, in my heart, in my life. I refuse to allow them to control my thinking. I refuse to allow them to control my dreams. I refuse to allow them to control my first thought when I wake in the morning. I refuse to allow. Listen, my wife got cancer, and she was diagnosed with cancer. I want you to know I struggled with the same thing all over again. I was waking up in the nighttime, praying about it. I'd wake up in the morning. First thought would be on that. Listen, I had to make a choice. God is God, and he cannot lie, and God is a miracle-working God. So therefore, I had to cast my cares upon him. I had to trust him that his word was true and that he'd fulfill it in my life, in our lives. And I stayed on that. And let me tell you, no longer did the thought of cancer be the first thought in my brain when I woke up in the morning. No longer have these people been the first thought in my brain when I wake up in the morning. Why? Because I have chosen to make the word of God the very first thought. I've chosen to have a song in my spirit. I've chosen to have the word of God more powerful than a problem. I've chosen not to allow fear to be more powerful than my God. I refuse to bow my knee to fear and problems. I refuse to bow my knee and worship my situation. I stand upon the word of God, and God is God and cannot lie. Therefore, I can trust him with my concerns. That's a choice. Not always an easy choice. I had a time when I was on the road as an evangelist where I struggled with panic attacks. I had never been a person of fear, just nothing I ever dealt with. I remember specifically one situation where I was going from Tennessee on Route 40, truckers in the room, Route 40 over to South Carolina to preach. I'm pulling on to Route 40, and all of a sudden, my body goes afire. And I'm starting to black out a little bit. And I'm saying, what in the world? And then I just felt that, you know, that fear thing erupted inside. Now listen, I wasn't concerned about anything. I wasn't like worried about anything. I didn't have any problems or nothing. And immediately I had to make a determination. Is this something physical actually going on with my physical body, or am I dealing with a spirit here? And so I made a choice, and that was at that moment when that fear came on me, I chose to pray in tongues like I've never prayed in tongues before. Listen now, some of you have never been baptized in the Holy Ghost and speak with other tongues, and you've struggled with concerns that have turned into anxiety, and you now are controlled. You need to learn. You need to get filled with the Holy Spirit and with power. You need to be filled with the Holy Ghost according to Acts chapter 2 and speak with other tongues as an evidence, and you will find that as you pray in tongues, you supernaturally, you will thwart things that are happening you don't even understand. And I started praying in tongues. Let me tell you, I didn't pray in tongues a little bit. If you had driven by me while I'm on Route 40 on my way to South Carolina, you would have said, he needs help. But we fight not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers. And I had to bring every thought and imagination into captivity. I didn't even know what was going on. But this I know, God did not give me the spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. And I choose not to be controlled by anything but Jesus Christ. And I fought through in tongues. I prayed in the Holy Ghost like I'd never prayed before. And literally, I felt it go, whoosh. I've had it happen two other times. Mansfield is just that kind of place. Every time I've gone through Mansfield, that those are the only other times I've ever had the spirit of fear come on me is in Mansfield. So we sent Pastor Dan. But I've learned that praying in tongues is a major part of our walk with God. Do you realize that Jesus did not even start his church until people were baptized in the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues? That he would not even launch his church until they were speaking in other tongues. You need the baptism. If you want to put an X in anxiety, one of the main principles is learning how to trust God. Listen, when that concern comes, you've got to cast your cares upon him. And you've got to leave him at his feet. Stop coming and picking it back up at the altar. And man, to get through, you got to pray in tongues like you've never prayed in tongues before. When you're praying in tongues, you're speaking divine secrets, the word of God declares. That you're building up your faith. You're building up your faith with the most holy, with by praying in tongues. You're building up your most holy faith. That means you're stirring up the gift of God that you receive by the laying on of hands. That means as you're praying in tongues, all of a sudden the power of God starts to churn. The glory starts to be released and the anointing destroys every yoke of bondage. Fear has no place where the Holy Ghost is residing strong. You got to make choices. And everybody in this room has choices to make. And I don't think it's a one-time choice. Can I just say that? I don't think this is a one-time choice. I think it's from concern to concern. Because some of you have ever had a situation come in your life that literally should have rocked your boat, and it didn't. You were confident in this very thing, that he who began a good work and you will complete it until Jesus Christ comes. I mean, you just had that. But then you had something even smaller come in your life, and it was like it rocked you. This is not about one time and it's done. This is about a lifestyle of taking control and bringing into captivity every thought, imagination that would raise itself up against God. Because when it's up against God, it will bring anxiety to your life. If you are anxious today, you need to know God more. You need to be more faithful to church.
Well, I don't know about that church stuff. You know, I feel good, but sometimes he talks way too long. And he's fast. He's just fast all the time. I can't understand some of the things he says.
It's not just being here when the word is being preached and faith is rising within your soul, but you're in the corporate anointing that destroys every yoke of bondage. You see, when you're in the presence of God, there's fullness of joy. Can I hear an amen? When you learn how to come into his presence, and I will enter his gates with thanksgiving in my heart. I will enter his courts with praise. When you start to praise, you start to break down the very powers of anxiety in your life. Man, when Paul and Silas were in the lowest part of the prison, they had just been beaten with rods because they love Jesus. And man, they were shackled hand and feet. They were down where the rats were eaten. They were down where they were defecating and urinating. They were down where there was no hope, the lowest part of the prison. But at midnight, they chose not to be men of worry and anxiety. They chose to be men that would praise him. In the midst of the trial, they cast their cares upon the Lord, and God cared for them. That died, the devil who was roaring and lying, who wanted to devour them, then realized, I'm not more powerful than praise. And he was subjected. The Bible says that God delivered them. I don't know what your problem is today. And I'm sure it's real. But you have a choice to make with that real problem. Is it going to own you? Or will you own it? Is it going to stay on the outside? Or are you going to let it live on the inside? Are you going to let it control your thoughts, your feelings? Or are you going to allow God to give you peace that doesn't even make sense? See, that verse is powerful. I'm going to end with it right here. Ready? It says, don't be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication. Prayer means I've come before my God, who is able to do abundantly above all I could even ask or imagine. I come before my God. My eye has not seen, my ear has not heard, my mind cannot even conceive the great things that God has in store for those who love him. I come before my God, who said, let there be light, and there was light. I come before my God, and there's nothing impossible. He said, open up the Red Sea, and let's walk across on dry ground. Have a choice. Or have the choice to try to deal with it myself. Let me tell you something honestly. Say it again. You weren't created to carry that. You weren't carried to create that stress. When our children, Pastor Chad, Pastor Cody was a secret, sneaky sinner. Pastor Chad was not. He was one of these kids that we went up, Sister Jody, and went up into his room and found a fifth of whiskey in his backpack, two-thirds gone. His tin of empty weed tin in his car. I can't say anything more. We found a lot. Let me tell you something. I'm a dad way before I'm a preacher. I'm the most real dude you'll ever find because I love you, but I don't want to get to heaven without my kids. A lot of preachers don't care. I do. And when it came to my kids, man, I want you to know that I had to make a decision. God, I dedicated them. I've invested in them. I'm consistent with them. They come to church whether they like it or not. Moms and dads, your kids don't have a right to tell you that they want to go to church. Get your stinking butt to church. Well, I'm not going to listen if I do. Who gives a flying leap? At least you're in the presence. Pastor Chad used to sleep right over on that side. He'd sloop all the way down, and he'd play his phone, and he'd play his games, and he'd do his eyes. I said, you're going to church? Whether you're like, I don't care. You use my toilet paper. You use my heat. You sleep on my pillow. Boy, you're going to church. When they were hellions, I had to make a decision. Is this going to consume me, or am I going to trust God with their lives? For God, my Father, loves them more than I do. I tell you, there were times I got up at 3 o'clock in the morning. The Holy Ghost waked me up at 3 o'clock in the morning. And I'd go out in the living room while the wood stove is cranking. And I'd pray in tongues for 2 hours. I knew I was praying for Chad. I just didn't know why. And his turnaround was so supernatural. Come on now, you know what I'm talking about. If you remember him sitting over there, now you've seen him preach up in Ithaca. Just got done preaching to Batavia this last week. God's using him all over the place. Church goes from 12 to 180 in 1 year, man. That's supernatural. But I want you to know that wasn't accidental. That was a father and a mother who gave our children to God. And we said, listen now, I've got some concerns, stinking pothead. I got some concerns, but I want you to know that I'm not going to carry them, but I'm going to pray. I'm going to declare. I'm going to bind. I'm going to loose, and I'm going to see God change my scenario. And I want you to hear me now. The building you're sitting in, if that had been allowed to consume me, you wouldn't be sitting here today, because this was an overwhelming vision that was impossible, told me by many people, impossible to happen. But I thank God in the middle of this cornfield, there's a building that seats over 800, and every Sunday morning there's about that folk in the house, and I declare in the name of Jesus, there's a new building out front, that this is the youth facility. It'll be filled. There'll be a school. God will move, and I'm not concerned. Why? Because it's God's vision, and God is able to do it. God is powerful, and I've got to trust him. I refuse to allow anxiety to control my life. You have to make a choice. That's your choice. This is your life. It's going to come. But what are you going to do when it shows up? Listen now. Never coddle a devil. Never try to medicate out a devil. I'm going to be a little blunt, and I'm going to tell you right now, I'm not asking anybody to get off medication. You don't do anything without your doctor. But some of you, you dealt with concern that you allowed to become anxiety. And what actually happened was this. You medicated out that anxious feeling. What you did was you dumbed down your soul. Someday you're going to have to come off those meds. And you're going to have to relearn what you avoided in the first place. But you can do it. Because with God, you can do anything. Amen? I said, with Jesus, you can do anything. This hope for you, if you're dealing with that panic attacks, this hope, my God will set you free even today. I believe in the power of God. I believe in the supernatural. And just as God can heal a person in their physical body, God can heal you in your soul. God is able and willing. If you're a person that is a worrywart, you need deliverance. We'll slap our hands, pull it right on your head. It's Jesus. We're going to hit you extra hard for the glory of God. My God! When you come up, you're either going to have gone out in the Holy Ghost or you're going to have a good bruise. Just kidding. Just kidding. I want you to turn to the person next to you and say, I've been set free. Well, not yet, Pastor. Oh, yes, 2,000 years ago when Jesus died on the cross, you were set free and free indeed. Your freedom, your salvation, your healing is not now. Your salvation and healing was already purchased. It's a matter of you and I acquiring. It's about you and I ascertaining. It's about you and I saying, I refuse to have anything less than what Jesus paid for. And that's who you are. You are more than a conqueror through Christ Jesus our Lord. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. There's nothing I can't do. And when it arrives, if you're finding that it's pressure, just maybe a little bit too much, you call a faith friend. Don't call a fear friend. Call a faith friend. Say, hey, I need help. I need prayer. They're going to bind their hand when two touch one thing. It shall be done. And I want you to know that God can do it through you. God can do it through you for somebody else. And God will do it through you in your own life. With your heads bowed and your eyes closed. I haven't yet preached an hour. I really wanted to. With your heads bowed and your eyes closed today, if you do not know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, I want you to know you can have a Savior who loves you, died for you, your sins can be forgiven, and you can have a life that is awesome. I didn't say that there wouldn't be, come on now, on every rose bush there are thorns. God will teach you how not to be controlled by the thorns. Amen. You can be free and free indeed. Today, if you do not know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior and you want Him in your life, I'd like you to slide your hand up right now. I want to lead you to the best friend you're ever going to have. I'm not asking you to join a church. I'm not asking you to join religion. I want you to know Jesus. He paid the price for your sin. He paid the price for your life. And today, you need Him in your life. Today, if you'd like to receive Jesus, I'd like you to slide your hand up. I'm not going to wait long. 5, 4, 3, 2, thank you. Thank you. I see you both. Anybody else? Thank you. I'm not going to wait long. Come on. Thank you, sir. Thank you. Put them right back down. Anybody else? That's 3 people who want Jesus in their life. Anybody else? I'm not going to wait long. 5, 4, 3. Come on, get your hand up. 2. Last call. 1. I'm going to have the prayer team come to the front of the altar. Right now, I want you to know if you're dealing with anxiety, don't you dare leave this building without getting prayer. Hear me? Well, I'll just figure it out myself. Well, that's just not intelligent. We're called brothers and sisters in Christ. We strengthen each other. Today, if you need help with anxiety, don't you walk out of it. And if you got a spirit of fear, you got panic attacks, we're going to cast that thing off you in Jesus' name. Listen now, that's not a theory. I wish for just one second everybody in this church building could see what a spirit of fear looks like. If you saw what that demon actually looked like, you would not want to be anywhere around it because it is real. Yes, some of you have seen it. Sandy, you're feeling me this morning. Father, I declare blessing over this house. We are putting an X in anxiety. We are declaring that we are the healthiest church in this region in the name of Jesus. We are declaring not only health in our bodies, not only health in our spirits, but also, God, health in our soul, our intellect, our emotions, and our will. I declare, God, that we will be people that everybody would want to be like. Lord, they'll see our lives and say, I want to know the God you serve. I want to serve the master, your king. I want to know God like you know God. Lord, I thank you that today you have made us free. And we declare we'll never go into bondage of anxiety again. In the name of Jesus. Here's a notice, devil. You can roar and you can show up. But know that Jesus already took all your teeth and your claws out. He already defeated you, and he gave us the authority to defeat you. So in Jesus' name, spirit of spirit of fear, I command you to loose the people of God in Jesus' name. Some of you actually feel right now a release. You can feel almost something coming right off your back, something coming off your body in the name of Jesus. I command that spirit of fear. I command that spirit of torment now get off their body in Jesus' name. No longer influencing them in that manner. In Jesus' name. If you've never been baptized in the Holy Ghost and speaking with other tongues, today's your day. You need to be filled. You need to pray in tongues more than you've ever prayed in tongues before. This is the time and the season. You need to pray in tongues more than you've ever prayed in tongues before. I'm going to have Pastor Cody. I'm going to have, where's some other pastors there? Pastor Obina Ebo, where are you? Make your way to the front quickly. I want you guys over there. If you need the baptism of the Holy Ghost, I want you to go on that side, right on over there. We're going to lay hands on you, and you're going to receive according to Acts chapter 2. And this gift is for you and for your children and for all those called afar off, a called according to my purpose. You need to be filled with the Holy Ghost. Speak with other tongues. I love you. Have an awesome week. Listen, if you raise your hand for salvation, I want you to be brave. Come right out of your chair. Meet Mindy right here. She's the lady in the white. We want to pray with you. Get your Bible. Make sure you know God. If you need prayer, get to the front of the altar.